In this lesson, we'll talk about color and background related CSS properties. Now, some HTML5 elements can have a foreground color or just color, while others can have a background color, while others can have a background image, and that image can be configured in a number of different ways. So to kind of exercise this, I created another one of my little experiments, like I talked about in the previous lesson, where I went through and just created every variation possible so that I could get this firmly ensconced in my mind as the differences, what the different values were possibly, and be able to talk about this intelligently. Great exercise. I highly recommend that you do something similar to this for yourself. Create a little cheat sheet. Okay, so we're going to start with various ways to define color in CSS, and there are quite a few actually. The three ways that I have demonstrated here are defining using named colors like blue, black, white, red, so on. And there's quite a few. I think there's, 120, 240, it's several dozen different ways, and you can just search for CSS color named, and Bing will bring back some websites that have a definitive list of every possible value you could look for, and that's the way I usually do it when I go about to work with colors. Or you can use a hexadecimal value, and a lot of applications like Photoshop, and my preference is Fireworks, but there are other tools as well that use hexadecimal values whenever you're kind of laying out what your web page might look like. And then there's also RGB values, which stands for red, green, blue, and the combination of those values between 0 and 255 will create every color that's possible, at least, you know, that are web safe anyway. There are a number of other different ways to define colors as well. RGB percentages. There's something called HSL, which stands for hue, saturation, and lightness. Then there's RGBA and HSLA, which include alpha transparency as well. And so, you know, for me personally, I stick with either name colors or hexadecimal values for consistency's sake. Still, if you're so inclined, you're probably more likely, if you have a tool that automatically generates these values for you, then you can use any of these ways in defining a color in CSS. So you can see that in several of these cases, I work with div tags. If you were to look at the HTML for lesson 14, and the div semantically is probably correct for this because we're not really giving any true meaning to our document, just a general area that we can style, so I feel good about that. And you can see in this case I have the style attribute and I start defining inline the various styles. So in this case I set a background color as well as the sizing of the div itself and the margins for spacing purposes or what have you. That's not as interesting as the actual values we've set here. For example, using a hexadecimal value, I can get a light gray color in my div. Here I'm going to set background images. Background image set to none leaves it empty. Or I can use an image, in this case a 50 by 50 image. Where did I get this from? It's a funny little utility that somebody put out there called placekitten.com. And you can use these as placeholders on your web pages. You just send in a width and a height formatted like so, and it will give you back an image that you can use temporarily on your website as you're going through development. Okay, so I just use that for this purpose. So you can see by default it will tile your image to fit the space available within your block style element. We'll talk about block style elements when we talk about block properties two lessons from now. Okay, here we can set the properties of the background. By default you can see it will repeat, or we can set repeat X to only tile our background image using the X axis or vertically, or rather horizontally, and then use the repeat Y value to repeat that tile vertically. Or we can use the no repeat, which will only put the image in your background of whatever element just one time. Furthermore, you can set the background position so that you can position it, in this case, right top, left bottom, so and so on. There's also a background attachment. However, it seems to be only applicable to the entire web page, and so I didn't create a firm example of this. You can see how it's used here. There's two possibilities, scroll and fixed. The scroll means that the background image does scroll with the page, whereas fixed means the background image does not scroll when you scroll the web page. Okay? And then finally, I wanted to point out that many of these CSS properties will accept shorthand. So you can kind of stack all of the settings on a single line if you want to. Same thing with border, as we'll see, and I think font has that capability as well. In this case, you just need to put the color or image, optionally put the position, optionally put the repeat, optionally put the attachment value, and so on, and it will figure it out. Okay, so that's really all I have to say about it. Again, a valuable exercise for me. Background colors, background images used often in web development. Make sure you're at least familiar with the various properties, and then just experiment as you're building your web pages. So hope that helps. See you in the next video. Thank you. Mm-hmm.